Well, Pastor John MacArthur has announced that he will be holding a Strange Fire conference this fall. Is it good to be rejecting Strange Fire, or in the process, is he rejecting True Fire?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we will tackle any relevant controversy here on The Line of Fire. And on Tuesdays, we focus on teaching, we focus on the Word, on apologetics, on theological controversies. But we don't attack individuals. So we are going to talk through some very controversial but very important issues today having to do with what the Spirit is or is not doing, raising the question, what's more dangerous, strange fire or rejection of true fire? We're going to talk these things through, and the phone lines are open. I want to hear from you and interact with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I also will be reading some of my poems today. That's right, poems that I wrote, one in 1993. And one in 1995 addressing excesses and, wrong emphases in charismatic Pentecostal circles. But I wrote these as someone who absolutely believes that the gifts and power of the Spirit are for today. In fact, I'm absolutely convinced that if you got in a room alone and you could read Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek perfectly, and you read the Bible alone, you came to faith, and you read the Bible alone for a year, that you would never dream for a second that the gifts of the Spirit, that the manifestation of the power of the Spirit, that healing, tongues, miracles would cease before Jesus returned. You'd never get that idea. And I contend that that view, that the gifts and power of the Spirit, the sign gifts, etc., are not for today, is based on experience rather than the Word. In other words, people said, we don't see it, therefore we don't believe it's there, and the Bible's been read in that light. Whereas God has been moving like this through history. He's never stopped moving supernaturally. And around the world, as my colleague, Professor Craig Keener, has documented and laid out, you have to deny the testimony of at least 200 million people to be conservative, to deny what God is doing in the world today. And at the same time, the Word of God, in fact, that's my primary issue, is what the Word says. Forget experience. What does the Word say? The Word to me is absolutely, totally clear that tongues, healings are to be continuing until Jesus returns. So I am saying these things as someone who loves the Spirit and loves the gifts and power of the Spirit. And I have written about this. 1991, I wrote a book called Whatever Happened to the Power of God, with the subtitle, Is the Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count? So I have addressed errors. I have addressed excesses. You'll hear these poems that I read. In fact, one of them I just posted on my blog a little while ago called Slobbering in the Spirit. Yeah, and it's a sarcastic poem about excesses and wrong things done in the name of the Spirit. So I am not one that sanctions everything that happens. And yeah, whatever someone says is the Spirit, if they get all excited and they feel good, it's got to be. No, not at all. But I have serious concerns about rejection of many things the Spirit is doing, or wholesale attacks, or focusing on an extreme as if that was the whole. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss these issues. We are not going to attack individuals. If you agree with Pastor MacArthur and you have grave concerns, say, about Benny Hinn, you won't be bashing Benny Hinn. If you love the ministry of, pick some other charismatic leader, and you're against John MacArthur, you're not going to be bashing John MacArthur. We're just going to talk through issues. But we're going to play some controversial clips today, some audio clips, fairly, and we're going to discuss them constructively. We want to embrace everything God is doing. Yes, test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Reject the rest. We'll be right back.
Give us
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. We talk about a conference that Pastor John MacArthur has announced for later this year on, quote, strange fire. He makes reference to things that the church is embracing that he says, part of the charismatic movement, blasphemes the Holy Spirit and attributes to the Holy Spirit things that are even the work of Satan. 866-348-7884. Now, I want to say this clearly. I have deep appreciation for the ministry of John MacArthur. I have deep appreciation for his love for the Word and his desire to glorify Jesus. I have deep appreciation for the fact he has ministered all these decades without accusation of a scandal in his life. I'm sure people have accused him, but as far as I know, his life has been clean before God. I commend him for that. I honor him for that. I wish every pastor, every leader was as serious about the Word of God as Pastor MacArthur is. I appreciate his jealousy for the Word of God. That being said, I have grave, grave concerns when someone accuses other believers of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Even if there may be an extreme practice, even if there may be something that's unbiblical, even if there's something that's fleshly that people think is the Spirit, to say that is blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to say that those people are committing an unforgivable sin. That seriously concerns me. Joey, let's just looking at my list here, I'm talking about clip number two, Money Cometh. All right. So I'm going to talk honestly about things that grieve me in the charismatic movement. As a charismatic, I have written about these things. I've addressed them for well over 20 years. But I say there's also a grave danger when we do not recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing. There is a grave danger when we don't recognize that the great, great majority of people around the world getting saved by the hundreds of millions, by the hundreds of millions, are getting saved as they are healed, as they are delivered from demons, as they experience the real power of the living God, the demonstration that Jesus indeed is risen from the dead, just like the book of Acts. It may not be the exact same miracles as Acts, but the same pattern of a gospel message being preached and people being called on to turn away from their idols and turn away from their false gods and their false religion and turn away from their sin and turn to Jesus. And he touches them and heals them and delivers them because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as Peter said in Acts 2, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was for the last days. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. And as Peter said, that the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. So this is to continue until Jesus returns. So I am gravely concerned about excesses, about things that bring reproach to the name of the Lord, things that make a mockery of the gospel. Those gravely concern me. And at the same time, I am gravely concerned over the rejection of the Holy Spirit. I am gravely concerned over the rejection of the gifts and power of the Spirit. And for those who say these things ceased with the apostles, that gravely concerns me because God is moving in glorious, wonderful ways, and yet the Spirit's being rejected. Now look, there's stuff that takes place in the name of the Holy Spirit that is terribly grievous to me. Like this Money Cometh offering that's gotten a good amount of play on the internet.
That yoke is broken tonight over you in the name of Jesus. You're going to receive your money tonight in Jesus' name. Oh! Money!
All right. If someone was raising money for the poor, if someone was teaching on financial stewardship, if someone was raising money for missions and people got a little worked up and emotional about it, hey, that's for emotional beings. That's okay. Love God with heart, soul, mind, strength. You don't have to sit there like bumps on a log and just not say a word. I mean, when you read the scriptures, there's plenty of joy and excitement. The man who was healed in Acts, the third chapter, it was lame from birth. He's leaping and jumping in the temple and rejoicing. Yeah, fine. And if God works a miracle and you've been heavily in debt and you've been working hard to get out of debt and you've been giving sacrificially and God supernaturally provides funds, yeah, go ahead and shout. But this everybody getting up and shouting, money cometh to me and we're going to, and your money's going to come right now and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get grieved over that the way you get grieved over that. And I'll read some of my poems to you in a moment to let you know that excesses and extremes and things that claim to be the spirit and are not grieve me. At the same time, I want to say again, it grieves me when people reject what the Holy Spirit is doing, especially based on biblical misinterpretation. I like what Jonathan Edwards said in the 1700s, in the midst of the Great Awakening, when critics of the Great Awakening were saying why it couldn't be God and the things that were happening and the emotionalism and all of this and the manifestations, it couldn't be God. And some claim that the chief critic of the Great Awakening, Charles Chauncey, that his books were selling better than Jonathan Edwards during the Great Awakening. That's what I've read reported. I can't verify that, okay? The fact of the matter is simply this. Jonathan Edwards made it very simple. We ought not to limit God where he hath not limited himself. It is one thing if the scripture explicitly says this is wrong, this is sin. It's another thing if the scripture does not address it. And if the scripture does not address it, then we have to judge by the fruit. If the Bible does not address certain points directly, then this is extra-biblical versus unbiblical. If it's unbiblical, we reject it in a heartbeat. If it's extra-biblical, if it's not addressed directly in the scriptures, then we have to judge by the fruit. So you ask, does this glorify the Jesus of the scriptures? Does it draw people to the word of God? Does it produce holiness and repentance? Does it produce a burden for the lost? If it produces all those things long-term in someone's life, that's the work of the Spirit. 866-348-7884. You know what, Joey? Get clip number 6 ready. I want to play this. This, I believe, was from a conference within the last year or so. Pastor MacArthur speaking. These are the types of statements, with all respect to my brother, that concern me. Go ahead.
The charismatic movement is largely the reason the church is in the mess that is in today. In virtually every area where church life is unbiblical, you can attribute it to the charismatic movement. In virtually every area, bad theology, superficial worship, ego, prosperity gospel, personality elevation, all of that comes out of the charismatic movement.
All right, wow. Wow, wow, wow. How about if we say that the great majority of souls getting saved around the world comes out of the charismatic movement? That's pretty well documented. Church historians looking at past, now looking at present, say that more people have come to faith in Pentecostal charismatic ways, meaning believing in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions in the last, 50 to 100 years, a greater harvest than the world has ever seen. Well, how about that? And is there no ego and exalting of personality in non-charismatic circles? And no scandals and error in non-charismatic circles? And let me ask you this. Which is worse, the noise and the blood and the screaming in the maternity ward as children are being born, or the quiet of the cemetery? What would you rather have? The noise of the maternity ward? Yeah, it's messy. You got to clean some things up. That's why the scripture tells us to test all things and hold fast that which is good. But it also says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. Yeah, if you want to have the quiet of the cemetery, fine. But here, answer me this. Non-charismatic circles, how many of them have regular 24-hour prayer? How many of them have nights or weekends just to worship and get in the presence of God? You don't commonly find that. So to me, when you paint with these broad stripes, you really have the potential of overstating things. Why not embrace what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today based on Scripture and based on the fruit, and then address the extremes rather than making such extreme statements which disqualify themselves? This is all public stuff. We're interacting respectfully between brothers and sisters. We come back, I'm going straight to your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us as we talk about strange fire, true fire. Which is worse, to embrace strange fire, to reject true fire? Can we do both at the same time? 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones, I wrote a poem back in 1995, sarcastic, called Slobbering in the Spirit. We're getting drunk on God's new wine and everything is mighty fine. So come along, relax, don't fear it. Now we're slobbering in the Spirit. Growling, roaring, barking too, it's all part of the Holy Ghost zoo. Some do froth and foam and drool. Getting zapped is mighty cool. Of course, we know there's more than this, but for now, we're deep in bliss, so don't urge us to reach the lost or pay the price and count the cost. Don't mention that bad word called hell or that God's holy. Please don't tell. Don't talk to us about sacrifice. Everything is just too nice. Business at the bar is great, and everyone is drinking late, so join the party, gulp it down. The real thing has come to town. Yes, replete with sarcasm. You can read that poem by going to AskDrBrown.org and just clicking on the latest blog, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Germantown, Maryland. Glenn, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your ministry, Dr. Brown, and if there were more voices like yours, I think the charismatic community would have a lot less problems. My problem is there are other people like yourself, Lee Grady is one example, who has named names of specific people who he sees do dishonor the Lord and do need to be held accountable. And it doesn't seem like the charismatic church has done a good job of being able to hold specific people accountable to standards. How can they do that in the future?
Yeah, Glenn, it's a serious question, but thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the courage that Lee Grady's had to address things over the years as well. The problem is with any leader, charismatic or non-charismatic, when they get a large enough following, it could happen to me, it could happen to you, it could happen to anyone. When they get a large enough following and enough people are into what they have to say, it kind of has its own momentum. In other words, they almost can feel as if they are bigger than a ministry or a denomination or accountability group, whatever, because look at my following. Look at how many people are loyal to me. And we fall into the potential trap of personality cult. We fall into the potential trap of exalting people. So what corrects that more than anything, aside from really praying for those people, because I fear for any of us if we feel that we are above correction and above accountability and above having to submit what we say to the scrutiny of the Word of God. That's real danger. We need to pray for people, and I pray prayers that I could pray in their presence. In other words, let's say Brother Smith was one of these guys, some imaginary Brother Smith. And I see he's got a massive TV ministry, and he's now getting off into weird stuff, and the TV networks aren't doing anything about it because he brings in so much money and he's got such a following. I would pray for him, God, whatever he's doing that honors you, bless and raise up. Whatever he's doing that's wrong and destructive, tear it down. And I would welcome everyone to pray the same prayers for me. And then what has to happen is there has to be greater discernment in the whole body. Look, there was a guy, a teacher, on Trinity Broadcasting Network years ago on TBN. He's not anymore, but he used to be. And he began to deny the deity of Jesus and began to deny the Trinity. So a friend of mine, a messianic rabbi, a messianic leader in Dallas, wrote to the network and explained what he was teaching. Well, they didn't really get it. They didn't understand what he was saying then. When it became clear, then it was another matter. But they didn't get it. And someone wrote back and said, we don't have a problem with this. And he wrote back and said, isn't this Trinity broadcasting? And the guy is denying the Trinity. If there can be greater accountability with the executives on the TV networks and the leaders, the radio networks, the publishing houses, greater accountability there. I'm often amazed by Christian publishers, by some of the stuff they put out. I'm thinking, you got to have editors there that know this is wrong. You got to have people. And if not, then hire some biblical scholars or theologians to vet the stuff before it goes out. And then what we need to do, again, is cultivate greater discernment within the body so that people just won't be so easily duped. And that's the role of other leaders. Ephesians 4, God raises up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so that we won't be tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. But it's a serious issue, Glenn. And of course, the worst thing to think is, I'm the guy that's going to straighten it out, you know, or it just has to be more and more people loving the word, more and more people maturing in the Lord. And that's the only way to get past it. And then pray for God to do some purging. I expected years ago he was going to purge some things and purify some things that were out there, and it hasn't happened. But, you know, there's also not just the wheat growing with the tares, but even within the body, you're going to have error and truth side by side, even within the body, and some of that's going to be right until the Lord returns. So those are just my thoughts, but it's a big problem, Glenn, and we have to keep praying. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. 866-348-7884. Tell you what. Moses, Rana, Valley, others, stay right there. I don't want to rush your calls. If you missed yesterday's interview, just a tremendous, beautiful interview with Rosaria Butterfield, a former lesbian activist, professor, feminist, wonderfully saved, testifying to Jesus. We offered her book yesterday. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on latest audio, and you can still get the book with the CD from yesterday's interview if you call in. Number I'll give you in a moment. But I wrote a book in the midst of the Brownsville revival when some were hailing it as the greatest revival, longest-lasting revival in American, longest-running local church revival in American history, and others were saying it's a false move of God. I wrote a book which is now titled The Revival Answer Book, Rightly Discerning the Contemporary Revival Movements. How do we discern? How do we determine what is the Holy Spirit and what isn't the Holy Spirit? The book is available. How many pages is it? It's a 300-page book. It's available for your gift of any size. So light up the phones right now. Get as many copies as you need to get, but one each for your gift of any size if you want to give generously and get more books to give out to folks. We welcome that. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. This, by the way, is available only by phone. 1-800-278-9978. The Revival Answer Book, yours for your gift of any size. Stand with us. Help us. Become a Torchbearer, a monthly supporter if you value what we are doing. And I'm going to be talking about these issues for another hour and a half. So be sure to go to the website later today, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the latest audio. You'll be able to catch any second that you missed. Let's welcome everything the Holy Spirit is truly doing while rejecting that which claims to be the Spirit and is not.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So how do we deal with excesses, with abuses, with things that claim to be the spirit and are not, without throwing out that which is real, without mocking and rejecting that which is real? Professor Craig Keener, in his two-volume study, Miracles, not only goes through the biblical evidence with wonderful clarity, but talks about what's happening around the world that is documented by testimony and on. And said you have to deny eyewitness testimony of at least 200 million people. And that's a very conservative number, to deny what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth today. How do we embrace what God is really doing while rejecting that which claims to be the Holy Spirit and is not? And did Paul reject what the Spirit was doing at Corinth because they had excesses or errors? Or did he encourage what the Spirit was doing and address the errors? 866-348-7884. What triggered this was the announcement of Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference for later this year. So the controversy is already spreading, and we need to address things in the most constructive way that we can. Let's go over to Newark, New Jersey. Our friend Moses, welcome back to the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Vaughn. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I it's really a comment and then a question, you know. I'm 21 years old. Obviously, I'm a frequent caller here. And, you know, I'm a Christian foremost, but, you know, I belong to a Pentecostal church where we believe in living in holiness and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I speak in tongues, my church speaks in tongues, and we dance in the Spirit. My question for you, real quickly, before after I finish commenting, do you believe in dancing in the Spirit? Because there's people that I have encountered that say that they don't, but yet and still they live a worldly life. But, you know, they belong to different denominations, which I won't name for the sake of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Let me address the larger question first and then the specific. The larger question is, can someone exercise a gift of the Spirit, speak in tongues, be used in healing, and not be living right? The answer is yes, at least for a time. Mm-hmm. We saw that it happened with Samson. In fact, there's a shocking passage in the book of Judges where Samson sleeps with a prostitute, and immediately after that is supernaturally empowered to carry off the gates of the city on his own shoulders. So that's scary that he could sin like that and then still have miraculous power working in his life. And the Corinthians had all kinds of moral issues and abuses, people getting drunk when they gathered for the Lord's Supper, a man sleeping with his father's wife, all kinds of excesses, and yet Paul commended them for not lacking in any of the gifts of the Spirit in the first chapter of the book. So both things can happen, but it'll ultimately be very destructive, and soon enough we'll bring a mixture with it, and soon enough we'll hurt the people that are involved because of the flesh that they're in. So that's the larger answer. As far as, quote, dancing in the Spirit, it depends what you mean by it. And let me just answer only because I'm short on time. I got a break coming up, so I want to try to answer before we're done. Do I believe that it's a good biblical response to celebrate before the Lord and even dance before Him? Sure, why not? I mean, the Psalms encourage it, and certainly in some cultures, it's a great way of celebration. If you've been to Messianic Jewish celebrations where there's dancing, and it can be wonderful. You can be distracted, you know, everything's just a dance step, but if you want to jump and shout and praise God and it's appropriate in the context of the service, we are great. If you mean the Holy Spirit takes someone over and beyond their control they go dancing down the aisle, well, I'd question whether the Holy Spirit takes someone over like that, but can someone be anointed by the Spirit to dance before Him? Sure. Why not? Show me in the Bible why we shouldn't expect that. Show me in the Bible where everyone just has to sit on their hands and that's somehow proper worship. All right, a lot more to come. We're just getting going.
It
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm putting this on Michael and his money, man.
Yeah, yeah. Someone says, why don't you address it? I addressed that stuff decades ago. I addressed the carnal prosperity message in 1989. For the record, wrote a whole book in 1991, Whatever Happened to the Power of God as the Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count. Of course I address abuses and errors and issues and things like that. Of course. Sure. I grieve over those things. I've grieved over working in certain circles where there's an emphasis like that. And in fact, for decades and decades and decades, basically, unless I end up at a conference somewhere and I don't know that someone's going to be teaching a certain thing, I'm just not going to be in those circles. Oh, I want to say one other thing for the record. Yeah, I'm white, but I much prefer a black Pentecostal atmosphere to a white Presbyterian atmosphere. What are you saying, Mike? I'm saying I like it when there's some energy in the building. I like it when people talk back to me when I preach. I like that. I like clapping on the beat and an upbeat song. I like that. So I love the enthusiasm. I love the passion. And this is not black, white, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. We're ultimately talking about what's the Holy Spirit doing. But look, you travel the world. Travel the world like I've done, friends. I've been overseas on more than 130 or 140 trips around the world. And the culture in Italy is very different than the culture in Finland. And the culture in Sweden is very different than the culture in India. And the culture in Nigeria is very different from the culture in Canada. And on it goes. And the culture in South Korea is very different from the culture in the Philippines. And that's different from the culture in Mexico. And there are a lot of cultural expressions that are a little different than what you're used to. But they're neither biblical nor unbiblical. In other words, they're not mentioned in Scripture positively or negatively. And Jonathan Edwards had a great quote about this. In fact, I cite it in my Revival Answer book, where he said this: many are guilty of not taking the Holy Scriptures as a sufficient and whole rule whereby to judge of this work, whether it be the work of God, and that they judge by those things which the Scripture does not give as any signs or marks whereby to judge one way or the other, and therefore do in no wise belong to the Scripture rule of judging. And then he goes on to say that the Scripture never tells you to judge whether people shake or fall. The Scripture never tells you to judge whether people cry or groan. You don't judge based on that, and the Bible didn't tell you to. And Edward says if that was the case, then God would have given us certain guidelines and said, okay, now when the pulse goes like this and the eyelids flutter like this, this is the Spirit, this is not. No, he said, no, we're to watch men's souls. So if the doctrine that's being preached is according to Scripture and the things that are happening in the meeting are not addressed either way scripturally, you say everything has to be decent in order. Oh, okay. Decent in order in context, according to 1 Corinthians 14, is this one speaks in a tongue, this one interprets, this one prophesies, this one gets a revelation. That's decently in order. How many services have been in like that? We're in meetings like that. People would run out the door. No, Paul said that's decently in order. The fact is, if the doctrine being preached is scriptural, that's the first test, all right? I 100% agree with John MacArthur. That is the first test. And that way, we 100% agree. First test is what the Word says. If the Word then does not directly address these other issues, then it's really simple. You judge by the fruit that is produced in the lives of the people. Simple. 866-348-7884. Let's go to the Bronx. Rana, thanks for calling the Line of Fire today.
Hello, hello. But first of all, I waited so long. Am I going to pay for this call?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk to us, Rana.
Yeah. What I'm saying, you know, I never hear Pastor McCarthy, but let me tell you something, Pastor. really and truly, I challenge all these pastors who say they can heal the sick and heal the dead. Go to the children hospital and heal all the baby with cancer. Because we have to be careful too, because when Paul, the greatest apostle, was have the thorn in his side, God never say all of us going to be healed. And remember when Paul friended sick too, he couldn't heal him and the guy died. Some of us will die. But some of these, oh God, man, when I see it, a shame as a Christian, they drop in the spirit and then put hope in upon everybody seeing what they have, what panty they wear. That is not the spirit. And God said, when the spirit come upon us, we shall have power to go out in all of Judea and preach the word as it is. And again in Acts, when the people, Paul was in, and the Holy Spirit come upon the congregation, they were speaking in tongues, but it was language. It was a one-time phenomenon because all the people that preached Greek, Spanish, Arabic, and everybody could understand them because it was language.
All right, so Ronald, let me just ask you this, though, okay? And I appreciate your passion, and yes, when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we're empowered to preach the word. In 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul is talking about tongues, he said that no one understands it, that people speak mysteries in their spirit to God, and that there has to be a supernatural gift of interpretation. So that would suggest there that tongues was unknown, was speaking in the spirit to God, as opposed to what happened at Pentecost. Now,
Chapter, I said they were speaking in language, and Paul
Right. No, in Acts, the second chapter, but then you have...
God said going to give them a babbling tongue, and everybody believes that they're speaking in tongues.
But how would you... Okay, well, I appreciate...
I'm a Pentecostal, you know, sir. I'm a Pentecostal woman.
Okay.
And
all right.
When I see it, I'm scared for those people because God said he's going to send them a strong delusion and they're going to believe a lie.
All right. So you think that there's a lot of babbling that goes on that claims to be the spirit.
Son, what a false physician
all right.
out there. Let them go to the children's hospital and heal those sick people in the hospital.
So let's see the real power and manifestation of the spirit. Hey, I appreciate that, dear sister. Thank you for sharing with passion. As always, always good to hear from our sister in the Bronx, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Val. We lost Valley. I was curious about that name. Let's go to DL in Charlotte. DL, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Dr. Michael Brown, I love your show, and you're talking about a topic that I need to discuss with you. I want to get this in a nutshell. I don't know how to do it, but I came out of what's called the charismatic movement, and I greatly benefited about 5 years ago from Reformed theology. People mm-hmm. like, you know, Piper, Paul Washer,
sure.
There was a dramatic difference in the fruit of godly lives between the people that lean towards them. And I also have charismatic friends, and I've been torn. And my question is, everybody that I've seen that was in this associated with commonly known with false teachers was in this movement, and I do not agree with John MacArthur's extreme level. But my question is, how does one embrace the authentic and not going over on the extreme side, because it is an extremely strong temptation to leave it all alone because it's so thick. Let me give you one more thing. I tried to re-embrace it by going back to my old charismatic church thinking that I might have been wrong. And for 8 entire months, the preacher, won't say any names, embraced the numbers and what numbers meant in Scripture. For 8 months, we did math in church for 8 months. Mm-hmm. And then he directed everybody at this particular event to go see Todd Bentley. And I just flipped, and it was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I was like, our shepherd is leading us to go see Todd Bentley and the insanities that he was doing. I said, I'm done.
Tell you what, DL, let me answer you as clearly as I can. I got a break coming up, so I'm going to start here, but keep listening, all right? First, come visit our congregation, Fire, right by the Speedway. So since you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, you can visit the congregation there. I would first get alone with God and get in the Word and say, God, I want everything you have. That's where I'd start. Now, see, what's interesting is I was in many Reformed circles, Calvinist circles, and the people were really spiritually lethargic and had weaker prayer lives, and they had more spiritual compromise in their lives. And I found that Pentecostals, Charismatics were much more vibrant and even committed to God and holiness. And then I've seen the other excesses. So I've actually seen on both sides of the coin error, problems, issues. But just because you got burned somewhere doesn't mean you throw out the baby with the bathwater. So stay right there. Keep listening. I'll get your calls on the other side of the break, friends. A whole lot more to cover.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us as we discuss Strange Fire, True Fire, a conference that Pastor John MacArthur has announced. On the one hand, he has encouraged Pentecostals to join him, and he honors them as he speaks of them. On the other hand, what does he believe is happening when they speak in tongues? What does he believe is happening if they lay hands on people and the Holy Spirit powerfully touches them? What does he believe is happening when there are other manifestations of the Spirit at work? Does he believe it's just made up? Does he believe it's genuine? If it's genuine, then that would raise a question to me in terms of has that clearly been embraced, recognizing the gifts and power of the Spirit? 866-348-7884. So, DL, back to your question. I guarantee you that you could go to a Presbyterian church, a Reformed church somewhere, or a Reformed Baptist church, and hear 6 months of teaching on predestination and election, on three verses out of Romans maybe, and leave scratching your head the same way, saying, is that the whole gospel? Is that the whole Bible? And then ask, okay, where's the great burden to witness to the lost? And where are the prayer meetings with tears for the lost? And where's the power of God to set the captives free? So you could see that and say, okay, there's got to be more. So bad experiences are going to happen everywhere on all sides of the issue. What we have to do is decide, what is Scripture saying? What does the Word say? And the Word clearly speaks of the gifts and power of the Spirit continuing until Jesus comes. Didn't Jesus say in John 14:12? Didn't he say that? John 14:12, whoever believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Let's not even debate the greater works. How about the same works of which he spoke? Hey, DL, come visit Fire Church over in Concord, right near the Speedway. Go to fire-church.org for more info. I don't normally give church invitations, but you're in the area. Figured I could do that today. And also read some of the books by Jack Deere, who's a seminary professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, denied that the gifts and power of the Spirit were for today, and then began to experience them himself. All right, let's listen to what is coming up at this conference. Clip number 4.
And it's in the context of Leviticus 9 and 10 that I want to direct your attention toward strange fire that's being offered to God today. And it could well bring his judgment. What I'm talking about is the charismatic movement. It offers to God unacceptable worship, distorted worship. It blasphemes the Holy Spirit. It attributes to the Holy Spirit even the work of Satan. People are caught up in it, deceived, led astray. This October, we're going to be having a conference on strange fire that takes a look at the false worship coming from the charismatic movement. It's not a conference about styles or preferences in worship. This is about honoring the Holy Spirit rather than blaspheming him. The judgment of God fell on those two priests who brought that unacceptable worship. The message for us today, worship is a very serious matter. How you come before a holy God is the most important thing you will ever do. Be a part of our conference and find out what is acceptable to him.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. I am jealous for true worship. When I wrote my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, in 1991, with the subtitle, The Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit and Down for the Count, I pointed to those very passages about strange fire in Leviticus, and I preached on them and trembled as I preached. But those are very, very serious charges to claim that people are blaspheming the Spirit. That means they're committing an unforgivable sin and are forever damned. Those are serious charges to be made in a general way, and that honestly concerns me. Let's go to Brenda in New York City. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Mr. Brown. It's an honor to speak to you.
Thank you. I just wanted
to ask a question. What is it to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Could you just explain it? Because I have to hang up. I'm in a very busy area.
You got it, Brenda. Thank you. The only explicit reference we have is in Mark, the third chapter, where it says that Jesus spoke about blaspheming the Spirit when he spoke of attributing the works of the Spirit knowingly to the devil. When the religious leaders saw Jesus perform miracles by the Holy Spirit and attributed that to the devil, that is what Jesus said was blasphemy of the Spirit. So as best as I can see, and the only explicit reference that we have, Brenda, it says this, that to knowingly attribute the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan is to blaspheme him, and that obviously takes a certain hardness of heart, a certain level of rejection of the Spirit and rejection of God for that to happen. So thank you for the call. That's why it gravely concerns me, folks. And I know the phone lines are jammed. Stay there. I'm continuing this discussion. I want to talk to you on the other side of the break, especially if you've been holding. I want to get to your calls. You'll be the first ones we get to on the other side of the break. But it's interesting that while there are warnings in the Bible about attributing things to God that are not God, things being done in the name of idols, encouraging immorality and sin in the name of God. Those are terrible things, and God will judge them. In my Jeremiah commentary, I spoke at length about the danger of the work of false prophets and the destruction that they brought, and even how so much of what they did was based on greed. At the same time, the Bible often warns against rejecting what the Holy Spirit was doing. The Holy Spirit worked through the apostles in the book of Acts, and leaders rejected that. You say, I'm afraid. No reason to be afraid. Say, Father, I want everything that comes from you, and if it doesn't come from you, I don't want it. And if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. If you open your heart to God and say, Lord, I'm not looking for an experience. I just want you. I want to please you. I want everything your Spirit has. I want to be obedient to your word. Let me tell you, friends, you're not going to get demonized as you earnestly seek God with an open and true heart. Get a copy of my book, The Revival Answer Book. Trust me, it will really help you. It'll answer tons of questions. It's helped churches that were on the verge of splits not to split because they got back to the Word and they looked at church history. The Revival Answer Book, rightly discerning the contemporary revival movements. It's a 300-page book with postage, probably about $20. But yours for your gift of any size. So take advantage of that. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. You can also take advantage of our special offer from yesterday just by going online to AskDrBrown.org, my interview with Professor Rosaria Butterfield and her amazing conversion story from lesbian activist feminist professor to devoted follower of Jesus and pastor's wife. So that you can find out on the website. My bottom line today, if you want to be scriptural, hunger and thirst for everything that God has for his people and reject the counterfeit that does not line up with the Word and the Spirit. Well, Pastor John MacArthur has announced that he will be holding a Strange Fire conference this fall. is it good to be rejecting strange fire, or in the process, is he rejecting true fire?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, I absolutely love, love, love the work of the Spirit. In fact, I don't think I love the work of the Spirit enough to really honor God and to really honor what He's doing in the earth and to really lean on Him adequately as I should. At the same time, I despise the counterfeit. How do we come to biblical balance? Pastor John MacArthur has announced a conference that's getting a lot of attention very, very quickly. A Strange Fire Conference. In fact, Joey, get ready to play clip number 4 again. Been talking about it for an hour. We're going to keep talking about it. Our phone lines are lit up. The number to call, 866-348-7884. How do we reject the counterfeit without getting a bad attitude to the true? How do we embrace what the Holy Spirit is doing without getting into silliness and absurdity? Can you love the Holy Spirit without rolling on the floor and screaming and shrieking? Or if you really love the Holy Spirit, does that mean you'll just sit quietly and reverentially in the service? Or what? How do we sort this out? We're going to talk it through today. And let me give the guidelines, though. If you absolutely differ with Pastor MacArthur, we will not allow bashing of Pastor MacArthur on the air, even if you categorically differ with him. We're just going to talk issues. If you categorically differ with one of the people he critiques, all right, and say a famous charismatic TV preacher, you're not going to bash that person. We're going to talk issues. I have no problem naming names. I have a problem with the way things are often done, where we can demonize brothers and sisters in the Lord or someone who just has some error in their teaching or preaching, but is a true brother or sister, we can throw them out as if they were not. So that's not going to happen. Before I play some clips for you, I've got a pretty crazy one I'm going to play a little bit later. Before I play some clips for you, share some great quotes from Jonathan Edwards, hailed as the greatest philosopher and theologian in American church history, or at least in early American church history. Before I do that, and before I read one of my poems, whereas a Pentecostal charismatic by background myself, I take issue with extremes and excesses. Before I do that, I got a really neat story I'm sharing with this dear brother's permission. Okay, all this week, every night, 6 to 10:30, then 9 to 5 basically on Saturday, a little bit longer, I have the joy of teaching a Jewish apologetics class at Southern Evangelical Seminary in Charlotte, right outside of Charlotte. And last night, a dear brother, Baptist pastor, said that he had dropped the class. He dropped the class yesterday because he was too overloaded in his schedule. Plus, one of the textbooks is a book written by a counter-missionary, an attorney who's a counter-missionary. He got so upset with the book attacking the gospel, he literally took it and threw it in the trash and called the school and said, hey, I'm dropping out of the class. Well, he puts on the Line of Fire broadcast this very hour, so 24 hours ago yesterday, puts it on online, and I begin to talk about no excuses, quit making excuses. God is compassionate. Jesus is compassionate, long-suffering, but he doesn't tolerate excuses. He got convicted, and he called the school. He said, you got to get me back in. You got to get me back in the class. And then he had to go into the trash and dig out the book that he had thrown away. So one of the neater radio testimonies I've heard, a little bit different, and I'm so glad to have this dear brother enriching our class. And probably listening right now with a big smile, just like I have. I'll see you in a few hours, dear brother. Back with your calls, back with some audio clips, back with my poem right here.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. We will gladly tackle controversies here, but we're going to do it in an edifying way as best as we can to honor Jesus and not to create unnecessary division and strife within the body. But we'll talk about issues, we'll discuss them by name with people involved, but again in a constructive way so that we do not end up unnecessarily demonizing one another. 866-348-7884. So listen to what Pastor John MacArthur says about what will be happening in his Strange Fire conference this fall.
And it's in the context of Leviticus 9 and 10 that I want to direct your attention towards Strange Fire that's being offered to God today. And it could well bring his judgment. What I'm talking about is the charismatic movement. It offers to God unacceptable worship, distorted worship. It blasphemes the Holy Spirit. It attributes to the Holy Spirit even the work of Satan. People are caught up in it, deceived, led astray. This October, we're going to be having a conference on Strange Fire that takes a look at the false worship coming from the charismatic movement. It's not a conference about styles or preferences in worship. This is about honoring the Holy Spirit rather than blaspheming Him. The judgment of God fell on those two priests who brought that unacceptable worship. The message for us today, worship is a very serious matter. How you come before a holy God is the most important thing you will ever do. Be a part of our conference and find out what is acceptable to Him.
All right, here's the issue now. Here's the issue. With all respect to Pastor MacArthur, and with all grieving over excesses and errors in the body in the name of the Spirit, to claim so broadly, quote, the charismatic movement offers false worship, that gravely concerns me. Some of the truest, most wonderful worship I've experienced around the world has been in charismatic Pentecostal circles, in jungles in India and far corners of the world and all around America. Young people pouring their hearts out to the Lord with weeping and tears in charismatic Pentecostal circles and devoting themselves to the gospel and the mission field. And the charge that people are blaspheming the Spirit, that means that they are committing an unpardonable sin that will never be forgiven. Those are serious charges. Look, I've preached out of Leviticus 9 and 10 for years. Over 20 years ago, I featured those chapters in my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, saying an outpouring in the Spirit in our midst could be fatal. But those statements concern me because they go so far beyond the pale, especially in an unqualified, broad manner. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Jose in Beth Israel, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Oh, hang on. I think our dear devoted call screener thought that you were giving the name of the city where you live as opposed to the congregation that you attend. There's obviously not a city called Beth Israel, but the congregation there. All right, Andrew, you posted a congregational name. That's your first. Jot that one down. Yeah, Jose, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Dr. Brown. We've met at Beth Israel once before when you visited, and you graced us with your visit. It was most welcome, and we'd love to see you here again. The subject matter and topic on which you're touching on today is extremely dear to my heart, and I'm extremely concerned about it because John MacArthur is being used by the most vehement cessationists out there. You have many of them, and some of them have attacked you directly, and they've attacked others that believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I am a firm believer of the gifts of the Spirit. One of the pet peeves that I have with the Charismatics and the Pentecostals, I've always had that from the very beginning, is a lack of discernment in many places. Now, I wouldn't say all places, but in many places where the spirits are not tested to see if they're from God. And there are scriptural tests to test the spirits to determine whether they're legitimate or whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking, or whether it's some counterfeit spirit. And I've had experience in that once before. If we have enough time to relate it, I can make it real short and brief and for your audience.
Yeah, it's got to be real short just because our phone lines are jammed. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was at a barbershop one time, and this one fellow came in preaching, and he was quoting scripture. I sensed in my spirit that there was something quite not right about this gentleman. And the people there are believers, and they pointed to me because I teach at Beth Israel, and they said that I was a teacher. And all of a sudden, that man's gazed directly at me and started preaching at me. And I could not understand a word he was saying. And so I, as he was ranting, I told that spirit who was directing himself towards me, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is Lord?" I asked him that twice, and he said no, clearly.
Right, so that goes back, of course, right to 1 John, the fourth chapter, where false spirits, demonic spirits, will not confess certain things. So here's the deal. Because we see an error, because we see an excess, because we see an extreme, because we see a demonic manifestation, do we throw out the Holy Spirit? No, of course not. Obviously not. Thank you for the call. Look, here's what concerns me. Many are concerned about excesses. Many are concerned about so-called strange fire and things like that. I'm concerned about it, too. I've addressed it for years, written about it, preached about it, talked about it on the radio. But I am deeply concerned about the rejection of what the Holy Spirit is doing today. I am grieved over those who say the Holy Spirit is not working miracles and healing and filling people with His Spirit and so on and so forth. That grieves me, because God is working and people are not recognizing it and they're rejecting it. And the word is plain that we should be expecting these things. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Elizabeth, New Jersey. Carl, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, Dr. Brown, greetings in the name of our crucified and risen Lord from your favorite gadfly.
Go ahead, Carl.
Okay. As a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I take a rather dim view of the charismatic movement. Now,
What does the word say, Carl? What does the word say? Does the word say about?
Let me finish. I do not knock the work of the Holy Spirit. When I sing certain hymns, I get very emotional. And when I see a poor person at my local path mark, I'm moved by pity to help that man or woman. And I feel that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, too.
Yeah, I appreciate... Carl, I appreciate that one of the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that when we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to love people, we're going to help people. But why reject what the Holy Spirit is doing, Carl? Just because you're not comfortable with it? I mean, doesn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians 14, don't forbid speaking in tongues? I mean, doesn't he say that plainly? I mean, Paul wrote that, didn't he? 866-34-TRUTH. Alan in Baltimore, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Brother Michael.
God bless you.
I want to comment on John MacArthur, but I just wanted to quote a scripture concerning what you said was scary about Samson. The fact that he could go out, commit that sin, and still the power of God is moving through him.
Yeah.
The scripture, I can't remember exactly where it is. The scripture says the gifts and callings are without repentance. God's not an Indian given.
Yeah, Romans the 11th chapter in the 29th verse, right.
Exactly. Your sin is not going to cause God to take your gifts from you, and they will still be used. So I believe even in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit fell upon and dwelt in us, I think that applied. But getting to John MacArthur, I used to listen to him a lot for years. When I heard him start speaking against the work of the Holy Spirit, it bothered me. I still consider him my brother. I love him dearly. But I've heard there's such a plethora of statements that this man has made. You can Google his name on YouTube and listen to the things that he says for quite some time. And once I went on YouTube and I heard so much of how he speaks against the Holy Spirit, I really feared for him, because, as you said earlier, the definition of blaspheming is attributing that which the Holy Spirit does to the devil.
Yeah, and I just got to jump in because we have a break. Obviously, I'm not saying that Pastor MacArthur is blaspheming the Spirit, of course. I'm saying be very careful. Be very careful before using those terms. Alan, those things concern me as well. I have great appreciation for so, so much good that Pastor MacArthur has done and does do. But those kind of statements, broad brush statements, really concern me. All right, we'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, just while we're in the midst of controversy, I strongly encourage you to get online and go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest article. It is the name Jesus really related to the name Zeus? Posted it a couple of hours ago. It's getting shared widely already. So go to the website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. You want to share this. We dismiss the idea that the name Jesus is related to Zeus. We dismiss the idea that Yahshua is the correct pronunciation. Of course, it's Yeshua. And only make an issue of it because others make an issue of it and get on people for using the name Jesus. So let me strongly encourage you to do that. Also, click on my latest blog. You'll be able to read a poem that I wrote speaking against excesses in the charismatic Pentecostal movement while I fully embrace what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I welcome it based on the word 866-348-7884. Let's go to Lodi, New Jersey. Valencia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. So glad to talk to you. Well, I have a couple of experiences, if you have a few minutes.
Go ahead. Yeah, just got to be short to get to everybody, but go for it. Yeah.
Well, I knew an elderly gentleman. He and his wife used to go around preaching the gospel, but he used to take me to church. But the day before, it was on a Saturday, I had spent a lot of time in my swimming pool, it was in August, and it had, a lot of bacteria in it. I got so sick, I couldn't keep anything down, and I was really... like a fever, I was really bad. But the next morning, and this man used to speak in tongues, but I criticized it because, to me, in order to be filled with the Spirit, you had to be walking pretty perfectly. And that was my interpretation, and he was not. I mean, he had his fault. But one Sunday, he came by and took me to church, but I was sick. I didn't open the door. But I told him about it, and he anointed the door, and he prayed in tongues for me, and immediately my fever broke, and I was fine. I did not criticize him anymore for that. The second time was I had had some trouble that I had made for myself. It was my fault, but I was literally petrified. I could only sit on the edge of my bed and just think about it, I couldn't move. I couldn't go anywhere. But I had this little booklet, somehow. It was next to me, and I read it. It was about opening your heart to speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it, and I opened myself up to that, and I did speak in tongues a few minutes. I was immediately released, and I was able to come to a decision of how I could get out of my problem. Then I went to the grocery store.
Yeah, and here let me just jump in. I know there's more to the story, but
this is gonna wind up.
Go ahead.
And I went to the grocery store, and while I was in line to check out, I had not said a word to this girl who was a checker, and she said, "You're one of those born again people, aren't you?" I hadn't said a word, but the glow on my face.
Right, all right. So there was obviously something about you, a joy or a presence.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
so here's the way I look at this, Valencia. Because Paul explicitly says, do not forbid speaking in tongues, number one. Number two, that Jesus told us to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. And number three, that we can also judge a tree by its fruit, because everything that happened to you was in harmony with Scripture. I mean, the Bible doesn't say to lay hands on an anointed door, but he couldn't get to you. There's plenty of physical objects that get anointed with oil in the Bible. So, okay, whatever. That's not unscriptural. But the fact is God touched you.
But he's prayed in tongues, I mean.
Right. God touched you. There was a manifestation of the Spirit healing you and touching you. It was to the glory of God. Then there was evidence of Jesus shining in your life. Why would someone reject that? Why would someone reject that? Can you give me any biblical reason? Thank you for the call. Can anyone give me a biblical reason to reject that and say, well, that couldn't have been the Holy Spirit? I hear that and I rejoice. Praise God. Why not? Richard in New York City. All right, we lost Richard. Let me just read you a brief quote from Jonathan Edwards, and then we'll get to your calls on the other side of the break. He was considered the greatest philosopher theologian in the 18th century in America. Some believe the greatest philosopher theologian in American church history. And he said that those people who tried to judge by examining the manifestations did not take the scriptures as a sufficient guide. He laid out that God never made that the guideline. He said the design of the scriptures is to teach us divinity, in other words, godly living and the character of God, and not physic and anatomy. Ministers are made the watchmen of men's souls and not of their bodies. And therefore, the great rule which God has committed into their hands is to make them divines, in other words, godly leaders, and not physicians. Christ knew what instructions and rules his church would stand in need of better than we do. And if he had seen it needful in order to the church's safety, he doubtless would have given ministers rules to judge of bodily effects and would have told them how the pulse should beat under such and such religious exercises of mind, when men should look pale and when they should shed tears, when they should tremble, or whether or no they ever be faint or cry out, or whether or no they should ever be put into convulsions. He probably would have put some book into their hands that should have tended to make them excellent anatomists and physicians, but he has not done it because he did not see it to be needful. He judged that if ministers thoroughly did their duty as watchmen and overseers of the state and frame of men's souls and of their voluntary conduct according to the rules he had given, his church would be well provided for as to its safety in these matters. So I absolutely join with Pastor MacArthur and other leaders and exposing heretical teaching and practices. But I will not make blanket statements rejecting so much of what the Holy Spirit is doing or accusing, quote, the charismatic movement of false worship or the charismatic movement of blaspheming the Spirit, God forbid, or attributing to the Spirit the works of Satan. I get concerned when people attribute the works of the Spirit to Satan. Get a copy of my book, The Revival Answer Book. It'll answer so many of your questions. The subtitle is Rightly Discerning the Contemporary Revival Movements. How do you discern what's real and what's not? How do you determine what the Holy Spirit is doing and not? How do you judge these things? What kind of fruit should we expect? Are things going to get worse and worse as we get closer and closer to the end of the age? What about the dangers of emotionalism? It's a 300-page book with postage, probably cost about $20. It is yours for your gift of any size for standing with us and helping us be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution on the air, helping us to bring truth in the midst of controversy as best as we can by the word. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Thanks for standing with us. Thanks for helping us. AskDrBrown.org. You can go there and donate there. It'll be our joy to send you the book. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the broadcast. Oh yeah, we're tackling some controversies. Pastor John MacArthur, whom I honor and respect for the good that he has done for so many years for so many people, has announced a Strange Fire conference that he will be holding in October. And in his description of the conference, he talks about charismatic movement with false worship, with blasphemy of the Spirit, with attributing to the Spirit the work of Satan. Those type of broad brush charges deeply, deeply concern me. While I welcome wholeheartedly and participate in wholeheartedly constructive critique of errors and excesses and problems within the charismatic movement. And I do it quite forthrightly because I myself would be considered charismatic or Pentecostal. In other words, I believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. And I myself speak in tongues. Some of you are like, yeah, we know that. Others are like, I better turn off this radio. Oh, wait. Why? I'm basing this on the Bible. I'm just basing it on the Bible, not experience, Bible. That's why I believe what I believe. If my experience is in harmony with Scripture, wonderful. I'm just basing things on Scripture. 866-348-7884. But look, there are things out there so grievous. And of course, they are going to bring mockery. Joey, get number three queued up. There are things out there that are so grievous. I have walked away from certain settings when I found out that certain people would be involved because these things were so grievous, and they make Jesus mocked in the eyes of the world. I mean, because he's associated with this. So here's a TV show. I don't know what the show is. The guys are talking about some of the nonsense that they saw on Christian TV, and I didn't watch the whole clip. There may be some things I agreed with, some I didn't, but I just went ahead to this one part that I was looking for. So these guys are talking, and then you hear some actual quotes from this gentleman on Christian television.
A lady came up to me one night, and she said, my ex-husband has not paid child support in 15 years. I said, sow a seed for $58 just as a covenant between you and God. Not trying to buy a miracle. That's absurd. But give God a seed of your faith, $58.
It's not about money at all. It's about planting seed.
I tell you what, planting a seed in Mike's bank account really pays off.
Less than 30 days, that ex-husband wrote her a check and mailed it to for $65,000.
That's amazing. Yeah. Surely you can't expect that to happen every time.
Expect a harvest. Expect it. Mm. Expect it.
All right. Well, I have had to turn off TV shows where a charismatic preacher or teacher was talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on his way to the cross and turned it into a fundraiser to generate certain amounts of money. And then had these words, if you give this amount, you'll get this. And that stuff is so grievous to me. And then I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the name of the Spirit when people are not living right. That grieves me. But remember, Paul had to deal with similar things. Paul had to deal with similar things in Corinth. And he did not write off the working of the Spirit. He did not write off the working of the Spirit. In fact, he commended the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 for the work of the Holy Spirit in their midst. The issue was simply this. He dealt with the error while embracing the gifts and power of the Spirit. In fact, he made clear to them that one way you knew his ministry was bona fide was through the gifts and power of the Spirit. All right. I'm going to come back with your calls. And yeah, I'm going to read my We All Fall Down poem. Well, yeah, I'm going to read it on national radio. I'm going to do it. We come back. Stay with us.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. By God's grace, we are not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Oh, I don't claim to be the perfectly balanced teacher of the word or God's policeman. None of us are. There are many watchmen. There are many teachers. Every pastor I know tries to be faithful to the word, even though many have preached serious error. They haven't done it knowingly. Sometimes it's been lack of training. Sometimes it's been sin in their lives. Sometimes it's been lack of willingness to really work through what the word says. But people I know want to please God, want to preach truth. I've not heard someone get up and say, hey, I'm preaching deception and error. Come to my church, the first church of the deceived. Nonetheless, there is a lot of deception and error out there, and we need to address it as best as we can. And at the same time, avoid the deception of writing off what the Holy Spirit is doing. 866-348-7884. All right, here's my poem. Then we go to the phones. I wrote this in 93. All right, you ready? I'm just telling you, before I read the poem, I have prayed for thousands and thousands of people around America, around the world, and seen the power of the Holy Spirit touch many of them, where some were so overpowered they fell on their faces, some were so overpowered they fell to their knees, some were so overpowered they fell on their backs, and I have heard testimonies of lives changed, of the power of God, even though that is not a central focus of my life and ministry. I've seen the Holy Spirit do it. I've seen the Holy Spirit do it to people who didn't believe in this, never heard of it. So does the Holy Spirit sometimes overpower people? Yeah, that happens. Do you make a doctrine out of it? No. Do we use it as a proof? No. But do we accept what the Holy Spirit does if it's in harmony with the word and brings forth fruit? Sure. But to the tune of Ring Around the Rosie, line up at the altar, time to laugh and falter. Ushers, ushers, we all fall down. Catch them oh so gently, they're getting filled a plenty. Ushers, ushers, they all fall down. A towel for their slain sister, be careful not to miss her. Ushers, ushers, they all fall down. How great the Lord God's power, how awesome is this hour. Ushers, ushers, they all fall down. But far from our church altar, nations quake and falter. And starving boys lay dying, and homeless girls lay crying, with missionaries groaning and saints in prison moaning. And terrorists still toiling while the Middle East is boiling and America collapses as morality relapses and fetal brains are sucked out, tiny organs neatly plucked out while gays prance down our streets and we hold Christian retreats. Yes, the world is going mad, but not us. Oh, no, we're glad. For now, it's party time. Believers, get in line. Ushers, ushers, we all fall down. Okay, I read that at the risk of losing half my listening audience, perhaps getting many thousands of new listeners just through that poem. But in all seriousness, I hate the superficiality of things. And we're just going to have a party while the world is dying. I hate that stuff. Just wrote about it again the other day. In my Hyper Grace book, I address that issue. Just God's always in a party mode or celebratory mode. Well, it's a dying world, and God grieves over that as well. There's joy in his presence, but there's also pain in his presence because of his heart for a dying world, because love hurts. But I embrace, I love the work of the Spirit around the world. Around the world, the great majority of people getting saved are getting saved. Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, because they're encountering the power of the Spirit in a living and real way. It is a fact. If you don't believe me and you want scholarly documentation, get the 2-volume study of Craig Keener called Miracles. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Rudy in High Point, North Carolina. This sounds like my torchbearer friend, Rudy. Is that you, sir?
Absolutely. It sure is. I just want to tell you I love you. And I'm concerned about this seminar that John MacArthur is holding. I listen to him fairly often, as well as listen to you every day I can. But I got letters from him back quite some time ago, and I was so concerned about what I perceived, the way this was being portrayed by him or whatever. I have been in the charismatic movement. I'm not a member of a charismatic church now, denominational, but I was originally received Jesus Christ March 5th, 1967, and pretty soon thereafter I was introduced to the working of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, and I've enjoyed I've enjoyed the Holy Spirit. I know it's real. I have received many blessings, including two healings from the Holy Spirit, and I've seen a lot of miracles. Also, I've seen a lot of evidence of flesh, carnal reasoning, and as you were saying a few moments ago, I so appreciate you, Dr. Brown, and I know Dr. Peters, I've known him since he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I just have such a respect for you men, the way you handle the Word of God, the truth. I have never caught you in any error. I'm not a scholar as you are, but I've been reading and studying the Bible for a long, long time, and I've experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit so many times. And we have dead churches now because of the fact they renounce and talk against the working of the Holy Spirit.
Rudy, I appreciate the kind words, and keep listening carefully, and if you ever catch something that doesn't line up, call me on it. But see, you raise such an important point. You have people saying, look, that's wrong, that's excessive, that's the flesh, and a lot of it is. A lot of it is. But then they reject so much of what the Holy Spirit's doing. They reject anything if it comes with emotion, if it comes with an outward display. You think the guy that was healed in the book of Acts in the third chapter who went into the temple leaping and jumping and praising God, some of these people would have sat him down and said, you're in the temple. It's not proper decorum. You should not be so emotional. And you know what's interesting? Nowhere does the Bible ever warn us about worshiping God with too much emotion. It warns against idolatry. It warns against immorality. It warns against counterfeit spirits and words. But it never warns about worshiping God with too much joy, too much emotion, too much passion. So which is worse, the church down the block preaching a carnal prosperity gospel and people shouting, money cometh to me, when they can't even handle their own finances and they think that the gospel is some tool to make them rich, or the church down the block that hasn't seen anybody saved in 15 years, and they haven't had a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit in 30 years, they're both hurting. They're both in trouble. Yeah.
Absolutely. And from what I read and understand about what's going on around the world, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that's doing it. And God dedicated people like you and Josh and all the missionaries that you all send out. This is where the work of God is taking place.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's so good to have you on our team, and you've been a friend to this ministry. I appreciate the call, sir. Look, simple little principle for you. If the Bible does not address something explicitly, all right? If the Bible does not deal with it explicitly, then you have to judge by the fruit. Well, my heart tells me it's not right. Well, my heart tells me it is right. Oh, okay, sometimes we can differ on that. Sometimes I can think I'm discerning one thing and you can think you're discerning another thing. Oh, there is real discernment between the work of the Spirit and the work of Satan, but sometimes we can be wrong on what we think we're discerning. So ultimately, if the Word does not address something explicitly, then we have to judge by the fruit. What's fruit we're looking for? Is the Jesus of the Bible exalted long-term and short-term, but especially long-term in that person's life? Is that person drawn to the Scriptures, hunger for the Word, and submission to the authority of the Word? Do they evidence repentance from sin and a holy life? Do they have a burden for the lost? If these things happen in someone's life, and this is the fruit of that encounter, then it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that there weren't excesses or flesh, but the core of it has to be the Holy Spirit, because the flesh can't produce that, and the devil can't produce that. Let's go to Alana in San Francisco. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. My concern is that for years and years and years, I went to at least three different churches that are kind of connected and overseen by Toronto Blessing-style churches. And I would go five nights a week sometimes, and I was so, like, you know, so into the worship and, you know, just giving it my all, but I had no... There was no conviction of sin in my life. I didn't even think to read the Bible. It's like I couldn't even read the Bible. I would get sleepy, and there was no hunger for souls.
Yep.
And I mean, it's just, I just walked away from a church 3 years ago like that because I wasn't changing, and and now I'm, for the first time in my life, I have a hunger for the word. I have a hunger for souls. It's like I want what's real, and everything's making sense, but I just don't understand how, God would allow that for someone, you know. I mean,
yeah, let me start to answer, but keep listening, and I'm going to finish my answer on the other side of the break. And Lawrence, Kim, Bill, Cody, I want to get to as many of you as I can before the show is out today. But just to start my answer, the Holy Spirit moves, but we are still responsible stewards. In other words, if the Holy Spirit's moving, and I get so caught up with what the Holy Spirit's doing, and I neglect the teaching and preaching of the Word, things will get off. They will, even though the Holy Spirit's moving. There is a responsibility of the leaders.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, see, here's what happens. We reap what we sow. And if I teach the word, teach the word, teach the word, teach the word, but deny what the Holy Spirit is doing today, deny the gifts and power of the Spirit today, if I do that, I may have people who love the word in a certain sense, but they will not embrace and recognize the work of the Spirit that he's doing. And there might even be certain coldness in their lives in other ways. If I embrace what the Spirit is doing but neglect the word, I'll get people that end up flaky, end up kind of floating around. So as I was part of the Brownsville Revival, the word was preached about an hour a night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Then I was not the main speaker at night. Then in the daytime, Friday day, Saturday day, I did hour and a half teachings for visitors. Then in our school of ministry, we had about 16 hours of teaching every week. And then Sunday morning, there was a message, and then Sunday school. So if you went to everything and you were part of the school, you got more of the word than about anywhere you're going to get in America. And we embraced the Holy Spirit. The meetings lasted 5 or 6 hours, and the Holy Spirit came powerfully and touched lives. So I love what the Holy Spirit does, and I thank God for what he does. But here's the other thing. People can react. When the Holy Spirit moves, people can respond in the flesh. They can overreact. They can see somebody else acting a certain way and they mimic it. There can be demonic activity. So is it heavenly? Is it human? Is it hellish? That has to be sorted out. If it's demonic, you put a stop to it immediately. If it's fleshly and it becomes disruptive, then you minister to those people to help keep them in order. And when the Holy Spirit moves, you want to embrace what he's doing as much as possible. Alana, I want you to stay right there. Andrew, get Alana's address. I want to send her a copy of my Holy Fire book. I think it will be of help. All right. I'm not giving out the number because I don't have time to take more calls and our phone lines are jammed. Let's go to Cody I'm on my way to Texas, but I'm not going to go there. Let's go to Bill in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking the call, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
I'd like to call you Brother Mike, but I don't know you, so Dr. Brown's going to have to do.
Well, Brother Mike's okay. That's our Mike. Doesn't matter.
I feel like I know you because I listen to you. And ever since this came out, you were mentioned at the Strange Fire Conference that Brother John MacArthur is going to hold.
Yeah.
I've been so concerned. It's been a burden of prayer on my heart for these guys. Not only for them, that they don't overstep, but for those that they're going to be talking to. Because, I mean, I think you know what I'm saying.
It's right, look, Bill, all of us have a sacred responsibility, and I believe Pastor MacArthur takes that seriously, as do I. But if we are shepherds in any way, then we're also sheep, but we're shepherds.
Yeah.
So we have a responsibility for what the sheep hear and for how they hear it, and that's why we have to be as careful as we can. So it deeply concerns me to hear a man of such stature to whom the Lord has entrusted so much, who's been so used to touch so many lives, to make broad statements as we played audio clips announcing the Strange Fire Conference, saying that, quote, the charismatic church has false, or the charismatic movement, false worship, in part blasphemes the Spirit and attributes to the Holy Spirit the work of Satan. Those are very, very strong charges. And we need to be so careful in making charges like that. So what blesses me, though, is the tenderness of your heart, Bill, and the honor in your voice. So pray for me. Pray for John MacArthur. Hear the prayers you pray. Lord, I pray for John MacArthur. I pray for Michael Brown. Pray for others, for your own pastor, for others on radio and TV. Lord, to the extent they are speaking for you and bearing your heart, make their message stronger and louder and clearer. To the extent they are misrepresenting you or your heart, bring correction into their lives. I would welcome if you prayed that for me every day of my life. All right, Lawrence in Hollywood, our buddy, we're short on time, but I wanted to get to you if you can be real quick, sir.
Okay, first of all, shalom. And shalom. I hear that you're Meshuggah for Yeshua.
Doesn't
that mean crazy for the Lord?
Yeah, in the right sense of the word, like Paul said, he was out of his mind.
Listen, what's the definition of charismatic?
My definition would be those who believe that the gifts and power of the Spirit are manifest for today, that the gifts and power of the Spirit that were manifest and available in the early church, that the epistles speak of, are to be normative in the body and the world today. So it's not a form of worship. It's not a style. It's the reality of the Holy Spirit's work. In Greek, it's called charisma. So that's...
I agree with that. That sounds... truth.
Yeah, but see, everybody has a different definition in their head, so...
Yeah, well, that's why I asked you.
Yep, I appreciate it.
Definition?
Exactly. Yep,
yeah,
exactly.
You also have to remember, too, with the Holy Spirit, you know, he's a comforter, and he's very gentle. Years ago, I heard criticism about the Toronto blessing and the Brownsville revival, mm-hmm. that they were rolling around on the floor, barking like dogs, and acting as if they were coked up. I don't know how true that is. And that was really the criticism for that movement.
Lawrence, do you have my book, The Revival Answer Book? All right, tell you what, I asked a question and put it on hold. That was brilliant radio work of me right there. All right, but Lawrence, you're right there. I want to send you a free copy of my book, The Revival Answer Book, that deals with a lot of these questions. I never went to Toronto. What was happening there, I can't comment on it. I was in Brownsville for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meetings as a leader there. And I can tell you that there was nobody barking like dogs and that we did not exalt exotic behavior. But if the Holy Spirit overpowered people, he overpowered people. And we saw that night in, night out. But the goal was repentance towards the Lord. That was the goal every single night. The lost saved, the backslidden getting right with God, Christians getting sin out of their lives and living for the Lord. And the fruit remains gloriously around the world. All right, every one of you, you can get a copy of my 300-page Revival Answer Book. With postage, it's about $20, but it's yours today for your gift of any size. You'll find it super helpful. It is subtitled, Rightly Discerning the Contemporary Revival Movements. There's a chapter, Does the Devil Have a Monopoly on Miracles? A chapter, Was Jesus a False Prophet? A chapter on Characteristics of Destructive Criticism. A chapter on the danger of scorning the sacred. A chapter called A Lot of Fallout Over a Little Falling Out. You'll find the book really helpful. It's available for your gift of any size. Call right now 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. You can check out our other resources as well by going to askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, the apostles, the early disciples, could not minister without the power of the Spirit. We make a grave error when we think we can minister without the power of the Spirit.